Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.
And finally tonight, markets and company news. Joining us from Just One Lap is Simon Brown. Simon, before we get to the JSE and companies news today, let's wade into the mini budget. It was an interesting one because on the one hand, the finance minister saying he expects an additional 2% growth. On the other hand, saying that we are in a very parlous situation as far as government debt is concerned. This whole balancing act is very precarious.
Even Jeremy, absolutely. And his problem is, I mean, any budget has got basically two sides to it, money coming in and money going out. And unfortunately, the input is lower and the output is higher, which is squeezing the debt component. And that, of course, you know, it snowballs to a degree because you've got to pay for the interest on that debt. Ultimately, you've got to pay that debt at the same time. It was, I thought, a lot more sobering than perhaps we would have expected. You know, we had 220-odd days of no load shedding. We've got a functioning government of national unity. But the stark reality is our finances are, they're in a precarious place, as you say.
There will be some benefit for companies, though. Spending on capital assets is set to jump by over 10% in the next couple of years. Governments is obviously, Simon, going to have to buy equipment for large projects. And I guess new public works would boost the likes of, or the demand for the likes of, cement, building materials, steel, that kind of thing. So there is a looming bonanza here.
There is, absolutely. You know, and there's a number of listed companies who can directly benefit. We don't have so much of a construction sector anymore, not operating locally. They're most now operating in Australia. But there are a number of others who are supplying into that sector. You mentioned cement, steel, aggregates, etc. We need to see it actually happening and being practical. We did a lot of infrastructure spend back ahead of the 2010 World Cup, and then a lot of talk, but not much happening. The president has said before, he's talked around turning the country into a construction site. It is, you know, you get two benefits, or three benefits. You get the immediate economic impact. You create employment, and you can create large amounts of employment. A lot of it is low-skilled, so that fits well in our unemployment crisis we've got. And then down the line, you've got the infrastructure, and that's important as well. That can help grow an economy. It's going to take some time, and we need to see it start happening.
So the minister also warning that the consolidated budget deficit will widen to 5%. He also says government intends taking on more debt than previously planned. So let's take a deep breath there. That's over the next two fiscal years. What impact might this have on the bond market?
So in the immediate, as the minister was speaking yesterday, we actually saw the local bonds weakening, and there was certainly a sense of this is not good for bonds because it's debt, and the bonds are, you know, at the pointy end of where that debt is. Are there risks of perhaps defaults or the like? We certainly have come back, and so far for the week, we're now trading flat on our five-year bond. So in the immediate, there was a wobble in the market, and then the response was, no, okay, this looks like it will all be fine. But we need to keep a close eye on it because, you know, if we start to see worries about the debt burden and the ability to pay it, that will surface in the bond market first and foremost. Of course, our debt is, you know, 90%+ is in rands, so they can always print money to pay that debt. That, of course, has implication on both the exchange rate and ultimately inflation at the same time. So it's not a simple answer, but at this point in time, the bond market seems to be comfortable.
And just a final one on this particular issue, a real stark warning about tax collection, 23 billion rand lower than estimates in the February budget. So come the main budget in February next year, do you think there might be a move on individual and company tax? Inevitably there will be, or maybe even VAT.
VAT is a very, very difficult one to do. Even if they perhaps, you know, quite markedly expanded the zero rating of VAT products, I think VAT is just politically going to be very difficult to do. Now, within the government of national unity, that might be a slightly different story, but the ANC still is the majority partner there. I think company tax, also difficult to do. We have a high by global standards company tax. Previous finance minister was looking to bring that down slowly over time. To suddenly bring that higher would be weird. And unfortunately, that leaves the listeners, you and I, who are probably, I think, going to bear the brunt of it in terms of increases. And what we might see, which is kind of what happened this year, no changes to the tax brackets, but your salary went up. So effectively, you're paying pro rata more tax per year because you don't get the bracket creep coming into you. So we might not see a direct increase. It might be by stealth. But I think most of that pain is going to be on the individual taxpayers.
Let's move away from the budget. And Simon, a bit of company news out tonight. First of all, it's patently obvious that you and I are not drinking enough beer.
We're not, Jeremy, and that's just the problem. Anheuser-Busch, with their 3-month update, their beer sales were down. And in a sense, it's, you know, come on, who's not drinking beer? But it's a changing world. I was pondering that. You know, we've got the alcoholic seltzers taking off in the States. Craft beer is becoming big. It's something that I was reminded of on the weekend. You know, when I was a kid, your grandmother drank gin, and that was the only person you knew who drank gin. Now it's all the hipsters are drinking it. 20 years ago, the hipsters would have been drinking a beer or maybe being fancy and a wine or a whiskey. So they're in a tough part of that market. They're trying for premium brands. Corona still doing very, very well. But beer in of itself, it's not, if you compare it to the tobacco market, sort of dying a fairly fast and ruthless death like tobacco is. But it is a category of alcoholic beverage that is under pressure. And I think that pressure is only going to continue for some time.
Yeah, and a company that maybe needs a little bit of gin tonight is Adcor, 29% decline in operating profits at the halfway stage. But this is all part of a bigger restructuring exercise.
Absolutely. So revenue was up, but only, 4.8%. Gross profit was up, but only 3.3%. Those are truthfully commendable numbers when you consider that they operate in basically recruitment in South Africa and in Australia. But in South Africa, there's very little job growth happening. Most of it is actually going backwards. Our unemployment rate is rising. Australia has the other side of the problem where they just don't have enough people to work. They have shortages of everything from baristas to neurosurgeons, but it is still tough and highly competitive. So as you point out, the loss was more than anything based on restructuring costs. They're one off. It should put Adcorp in a better position. I was surprised that the share was marked down some 5%. It seemed a bit tough, and what I thought was there were okay results, and I think a lot of it could be explained away by those one-off restructurings.
And we've spoken about this company before, Simon. You and I love a good can of Pilchards, don't we?
Yeah, Oceana. So, I mean, they're expecting almost a little under 20% increase in full-year earnings, which sounds okay, but they had a really, really strong half year. And the story is all about, weirdly enough, Peru and Daybook. Daybook is their operations in America, mostly dealing in fish oil and fish meal. And Daybook had a spectacular first half to the year. And now for the full year, they're not quite getting as much. So we're seeing a sort of pullback to normalcy in terms of Daybook. But the Peru fish season starts tomorrow, in fact, if memory serves, 1st of November. And what we've got there, they've got probably one of the biggest catch rates ever published from the government. And that means the markets are going to get flooded with particularly fish oil. And that means fish oil prices have been coming under pressure. So Oceana has had comparably a much, much tougher second half than they did the first. And the next financial year to September 2025 is going to be very tough as well, I suspect, because Daybook's not going to be on track to deliver the record numbers it brought through in the first half of this year.
Simon Brown, the fact that you know when a fishing season begins impresses me hugely. I'll come right back at you, and I'm just looking at the company notes here, and I'm delighted to see that hake sales volumes have increased by 31%. Again, we all like a piece of fish, don't we?
Yeah, fish and chips, absolutely. I mean, that's particularly if you're born on the coast. But I think for everyone who doesn't want fish and chips with some vinegar, and if you really want to be fancy, mushy peas.
Oh, I feel that coming on a bit later tonight. Simon Brown from Just One Lap. We'll talk to you again next week. Thank you very much. Hot
Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.
And that's where we're going to leave Hot 1027 Business with MoneyWeb for this evening. We're back on Monday at 6 o'clock. Good night, stay invested, and thank you for listening.
Hot Business on Hot 1027 with MoneyWeb.